Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Put us on a medium heat for 1 hour approximately. You got yourself a hot podcast.
Hello, Ed Gamble.
Welcome.
My name is James Acaster. This is the Off-Menu podcast.
Sorry, I should explain. We're sort of towards the end of the day now, and me and James have had 1.5 cans of beer.
We're celebrating. We've done 3 podcasts in one day. They've all been fantastic. You'll be able to hear them all very soon. And now we're doing these.
Well, this is one of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is one of them.
To be fair.
Yeah. This is the Off-Menu podcast where we talk to a special guest and get them to describe their dream meal.
Yes, we're going to ask them what their but the best ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink are that they've ever had. And today's guest is...
It's Rose McGowan, James.
It's Rose McGowan. Needs no introduction. Rose McGowan is an actress, activist, author. She just had a new book come out called Brave, for example.
Oh, get that book. It's unbelievable that we've managed to get Rose on the podcast.
Yep. No beating about that. I'm sure no one who subscribes to this podcast ever expected us to land this.
But there we are. Rose McGowan is on the podcast. It's very exciting.
But even though we've got Rose McGowan on the podcast, let me tell you, if Rose McGowan mentions the secret ingredient, I will have no qualms in chucking them out of the restaurant.
No, you're good like that. It's the same treatment for all the guests.
Absolutely.
So the secret ingredient this week that Rose is not allowed to mention is foam. Foam in all its forms. The scourge of fine dining restaurants.
I don't see the point in it.
No point.
I think it's just, I'm sure it, you know, it takes a bit of skill to make it.
I bet it saves money as well. I bet it saves money because if you have like an intense sauce, you need more flavour to pack it in there. But if you put it in a foam, it's probably like an eighth of the ingredients. Absolutely. That's my conspiracy theory.
They're playing us for fools and we all know it. So if Rose McGowan says foam, she's out.
Bye-bye, Rose.
Apologies.
Thank you so much for coming in, but you're out. You've said foam. Bye-bye.
And with that in mind, I think that's her at the door right now.
Rose?
McGowan?
Dream restaurant, Rose.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much. Oh, here he is.
Welcome, Rose McGowan, to the restaurant. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Do you like the look of the place?
The look of the place is fantastic. You have a lot of pop chips, and I hear they're sponsoring you, so I thought I should mention them.
You're doing a very good job. You've mentioned them much more than we have already.
Yeah, and when they got into the sponsorship deal, they had no idea you would be plugging them, so I think they'll be absolutely
pop
over
chips,
them.
Pop chips, pop chips, pop chips. There.
I think we need more money now.
I can get you more money, I'm sure of it.
Now, you were saying beforehand that is it fair to say you hate food? Is that right?
I don't know if I hate food. I hate the intrusion of food. I find it to be a bit of a bother. I like nice food, of course, but I don't go out of my way for it. If it happens, that's nice. If it doesn't, then I'll eat just to survive.
Yeah.
If I could take a pill and not deal with it, that would be fine too.
Oh, so you're a pill person.
No, yeah. I'm not a pill person, but if there was no event.
No, we weren't accusing you of being a pill person in general. Just saying there are
if people. If there were an alternative.
Yeah, people who would have the food pill.
Yeah.
I think everyone on the planet can fall into two categories of people who would take the food pill and people who would want to keep eating food.
Right. I fall into the pill category.
Yeah.
But don't take that quote out of context, anyone out there.
No, please don't.
Rose is not saying.
I am not a pill popper. It's not my jam.
Generally a pill person.
I'm from California. We like things that make us eat. Yeah. Right. That give us the munchies, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Because you were saying that you would like to do your own TV show where you go to gourmet restaurants. Is that right?
I kind of have this fantasy of doing a show where fancy chefs try to force me to eat their food, and I go to McDonald's or Taco Bell afterwards. You don't have Taco Bell in England.
We do now. There's a very new addition. I think there's one quite near here. There's definitely one in Hammersmith. There's one in Fulham Broadway.
A Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Taco My Bells, life has changed.
Some London Taco Bells.
All right, London, let's go.
Do you have a staple on the menu? Unless you're going to mention it later on.
No, it's a bean and cheese burrito with no onions, but add sour cream and one hard shell taco with a Pepsi.
That is
very specific.
The speed that I want to hear a fast food order said at.
Absolutely.
It's like, I know exactly what I want. I've said it a million times before.
I have.
Bam, bam, bam.
That's sort of the spirit of this podcast as well. It's not really about fancy food. It's about knowing what you'd like.
Ah, I like that. Because fancy food, it just eludes me. Especially if I get taken, and this sounds very posh, but if I do get taken to a Michelin-starred restaurant, it always ends up with me scavenging for food afterwards. Yeah. So I'm starving stuff.
You just hankering for some KFC or something.
No, I don't do KFC.
No.
That one's no. Yeah. But I will just do food that if I'm really hungry, I'll eat whatever just to get it over with.
Right.
I think that's a great idea for a TV show because chefs, like gourmet chefs, are normally, they're used to being lauded and appreciated by everyone.
Yeah, I would not probably do that. I'd be like, no, there's smoke coming off of my food, for God's sake.
So that's what you don't enjoy the theatre of food sometimes. If they do, like, they put like foams and smokes on it and things like that, you're not into it.
It just means I won't like it. I know it. I grew up in Tuscany. And that food kind of spoiled me and then I got sent to America in the late 80s, and that was a shock to my food system and others, parts of my system, that I never quite got over.
And what was the big difference there? In Tuscany, what were you having to eat compared to what you then had to eat in America?
Oh, dear God. Well, Tuscany is, you know, like a penne arrabbiata, or like the penne with the spicy tomato sauce, or like just a simple, the tomatoes in Tuscany are better than tomatoes anywhere else, pretty much. So anything with tomatoes, just, you know, buffalo mozzarella with some lovely sliced tomato, they're balsamic and olive oil, you really can't beat it. And then I got sent to America and it was orange cheese, literally called American cheese, which kind of says it all.
Yeah, that's very plasticky and melt. You get gluey, I'd say.
Gluey. And I actually wrote that in my book, Brave, that's out right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dear America, why is your cheese orange? But seriously, like, when did cheese become actually orange?
Yeah, who decided that? Because that's not...
No, that's that's some marketing genius.
It appeals to you as a kid. Because, like, yeah, when I was a kid, definitely, orange cheese looked tastier.
Right. We have Red Leicester here, right? Which is, like, our orange. I think you can find good Red Leicesters, but, yeah, it's not a natural colour.
It's not a naturally occurring colour. No,
not at all. The jump from actual Italian food to Italian-American food must have been pretty difficult.
Oh, God. I also write about this in my book. The first time I saw, you know, pasta in America, I got very excited, and it turned out to be one congealed blob on the plate that I lifted with a fork all at once, and there was water underneath it. And I started crying because I knew my life was never going to be the same. Yeah,
add into the water. Your tears just flowed into the pasta water,
and it didn't make it any better.
Yeah. A lot of that was the chef's tears anyway. He'd come from Italy, and he was
probably
crying.
He's like, forget it. We're done.
What have I become? Can we start you with some water? Would you like still or sparkling?
Still.
Always still?
Always still.
Why is this?
Because the bubbles pop my stomach out in a very strange way. Apparently they settle other people's stomachs, but they don't do that to me. I just get like a 4-month pregnancy look, just super chic, and what one always wants to look like, of course. So I avoid bubbles. And now you know.
This is an exclusive we've got.
An exclusive.
Bubbles make your stomach pop.
I understand that. I'm the same with sparkling water. It makes me feel a bit bloated before a meal. You want to feel sort of fresh and empty before a lovely big meal, I think.
Yes, fresh and empty.
Fresh and empty.
The story of my life.
That actually could have been your book title.
Fresh and empty.
You've already gone with Brave. That's already done.
It's my next book title.
Yeah, fresh and empty.
You heard it here first, folks.
So does that mean you steer clear of sodas just across the board?
No, if I drink a Coca-Cola, I can't drink it with a straw, though, because that seems to make my stomach pop out. But if I do it without a straw, I seem to manage it. Now you know even more about my stomach situation.
This is very interesting. So straws are the actual, which is good news that they're trying to get rid of straws anyway.
Yeah, it is
right?
good news for me.
So like,
and good news for the planet.
Yeah.
So in that order, though.
In that order.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, whoever, you know, even the person who cares about the environment, you know, more than anyone else probably would still put things in that order.
Yeah,
I think like,
so.
Themselves first.
Yeah, I think so.
Save yourselves, man.
Yeah. Like, poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Rose? Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadom.
Very good answer.
You're a fan of poppadoms?
I do like poppadom. I like naan better, but you didn't offer me naan. You said bread.
Well, naan falls under bread.
It does fall under bread, but it's a specific kind of bread. I was imagining either poppadom or like a nice crusty sourdough.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Well, if we told you, you can have any bread.
I would do butter naan.
In the world, or any poppadom you've ever had.
Oh, bread.
So you would still go for the bread. Yeah. You go for the bread.
Now that I know that I have a wide open bread range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I can just imagine, instead of cows on a range, I just see bread everywhere.
Or do you see them
walking around.
Yeah.
On the field.
All the different types of bread all in the same field.
All in the same free-range bread.
Yeah. How are they all behaving? How's the sourdough? What's a sourdough loaf up to?
Crusty and sour and in a bad mood all the time.
Just walking around in a bad mood.
Just barking with a pinched expression on their face.
Yeah, of course.
But look over on the hill. There's some brioche.
Hello, brioche.
How's that behaving?
It's just laying there taking in the sun.
Yeah, of course it is.
Getting nice and golden.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course it would. Oh, but if you look over there, you've got some... what kind of other bread could you have, Ed?
Rye bread?
Well, the naan's got to come in at some point.
What's the naan bread doing?
The naan bread is just puffy and happy and just running all over the land, I think.
It would be a bit more, running around.
Are you going to have to go and wrangle it in?
I'm going to wrangle with my lasso. Yeah. It's going to be like the Wild West, except for with bread. Yeah. I'm going to use a pasta noodle as a lasso.
Perfect.
Ideal. This is the first time I've ever thought we could do a whole podcast about bread.
Yeah, this feels like there's a whole world. There's a whole universe now that we've invented.
We have.
Yeah.
Another show for us. This one's for the Cartoon Network.
Yeah. Bread Farm.
Bread Farm. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like it. Bread Farm. So your bread that you would like is the naan bread, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, please. And butter naan.
Butter naan bread. Yes. Is there a certain place you've had it that is the best you've ever had?
Probably in India.
Oh, yeah.
In Delhi.
Oh, lovely.
I would say. But I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but it was, ground zero for naan, probably.
Mm. Right, yeah.
So, best go to the source.
Yeah.
And we can do that because he's a genie. He can go there right now and bring you back to
life. I'm a genie in a bottle. Gotta rub me the right way.
That was me singing for the listener. Yeah. the listener might not know.
James, you really should sing more. That was absolutely beautiful.
You know? My pleasure. I especially
just keep singing Christina Aguilera.
Yeah. Only Christina.
Only Christina. Ex-Tina.
So we move on to your starter.
My starter. Okay. My starter would be probably a lovely, I already mentioned it, but a buffalo mozzarella with some nice thinly sliced tomatoes and a lovely Italian olive oil with some balsamic. Really simple.
And are we going to Tuscany for this?
We're going to Tuscany for that.
Not to America for that.
Not to America, or no offense, England.
I don't think the people of England would take offense to the quality of their mozzarella.
Yeah.
Although there's some places that make good buffalo mozzarella. There's Laverstock Farm, I believe it's called, makes a lovely English buffalo mozzarella.
I've never had an English buffalo mozzarella.
Well, I have from Laverstock Farm. It's good.
Delightful.
It's nice. Although I wouldn't claim to be an expert on buffalo mozzarella, so.
Where's Laverstock Farm? Is Laverstock Farm a farm where buffalo mozzarella are running around?
Yes, yeah. They're all running around.
Buffalo cheese.
Yeah. They're all in a big pond and they climb out when they're ready.
They're next door to the bread farm.
Yeah. Luckily.
But to me, I think that's asking for trouble, isn't it?
That is.
Putting those farms neighbouring each other.
A lot of strange sounds come from each direction.
Yeah. You know, if they get wind that, you know, of what's over the fence. Yeah.
What's going to happen to them and how they're going to... Did you guys see Sausage Party, the movie?
Yes, I did. So that's the animated film where they figure out they're going to be eaten as all the food.
Yes. And now I'm imagining all the bread screaming and running away from the bread slaughterhouse.
Yeah, but only to run into the cheese farm.
Only to run into the cheese farm. No!
I don't have to explain to the cheeses, which, you know, I do like the thought of the buffalo mozzarella climbing out of the pond. That sounds nice.
That sounds nice too.
I saw it in a more romantic way. I was thinking that one of the mozzarellas falls in love with one of the breads over the fence, and then the end is they end up as a sandwich.
So you're a romantic.
I'm a romantic, you see. At the end, the mozzarella ends up in between the bread in a lovely sandwich, and they're together forevermore.
Together forevermore.
Is that the same?
It's not until they're digested.
Yeah, until they're digested, and then that's the sequel.
And which that's the sequel, which is something else entirely.
Yeah. Which
we don't need to go there.
And James can sing Christina Aguilera's "Dirty" for the theme tune to that.
Yeah, I'll sing it now.
Go for it. All I know is "Dirty." That's all I know.
Well, that was me singing it, just for everyone.
That was James again.
Yeah, I sang that. That's quite a fresh starter as well. Christina Aguilera, for a while, she was like one of the judges on The Voice, wasn't she?
I think she was, yeah. I didn't see it, but I
got quite addicted to watching the blind auditions on YouTube.
Oh, are they great?
I just, you know, where you kind of want to watch stuff just to make yourself get emotional.
And it works.
It really works. Because most of those talent shows, it's like, yeah, if it's Britain's Got Talent, America's Got Talent or whatever, people go on, and if they're not good, then the judge does the X. So that the judge only presses a button if they don't like it, and it's all negative. Whereas The Voice, they press the button if it's good and if they like it, and then they turn around and the singer gets to see one of their favourite, you know.
So The Voice stars. Comes out of something that usually doesn't match.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah. It's like, oh, the music industry is based on the way people look, and this is supposed to be to counteract that, and it's about The Voice. Yeah.
That's happy.
Yeah.
But when they don't press the button, I'd say that's sadder than when they get voted off Britain's Got Talent, because then they're just performing to the backs of chairs, and then it just finishes.
It didn't even make it as far as the turnaround.
Yeah.
Ouch.
But then they do turn around, and they're very nice to them. They don't turn around and say they were awful. They turn around and be like, here's what I liked about it, but here's what I think you could work on. And then it's a good
chat. Sounds like a positive experience.
More positive-ish.
Especially when one of them's Christina Aguilera, and like sometimes she's got up and she's sung with them. She would like sing a song with them, like out of nowhere, and then they don't expect that.
Dirty.
Yeah, she only knows that bit as well.
She only knows that bit as well.
Yeah, they're like, for years. They're like, Christina, you wrote this.
Can you write one more lyric?
Yeah.
Just one more word.
No, I'll just sing Dirty for the whole thing. But yeah, that's my... Do you have anything that you go to on YouTube to make you cry?
I watch crime scene reenactments on YouTube.
Nice.
And Boston Terrier puppies. Those two things are really big in my household.
I hope there's no crossover episodes.
No, not yet, but that would be really sad. Unless the Boston Terrier was like the detective.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be all right. That would be awesome. I'd watch that.
That's my
that's
impression.
That's a good one. That's an impression of a Boston. That works.
As a detective.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a Boston Terrier is, they're black and white with googly eyes. Very cute.
They have googly eyes.
They have real googly eyes. I had one and their eyes went in different directions and blinked at different speeds.
Amazing.
They're quite epic.
So like what? So one after the other it would do close its eyes and open
it, well
them.
It would also lay between you and someone else and it would be like, is he looking at you? Yes, he's also looking at me.
Oh, that's just nice. Yeah, you're never losing affection from
you're
the
never
dog,
alone.
Yeah.
There's always one eye on you.
It's like a scary painting.
His name was Fester. Bless.
Oh, perfect. The Addams Family character. Yeah.
But I actually named him because he always looked like he was getting fired from a job or something. So it looked like he had a festering wound in his psyche. So it was more about that. But sure, Addams Family.
Yeah, sure. I think you can see why we thought Addams Family, but
okay,
I prefer
but it was
your
actually
reason.
Deeper.
Yeah, he had
a festering wound in his psyche.
I'm sorry, my dog has a festering wound in his psyche. It's not your face. It's just how he looks.
So I love the idea of a dog always looking like it's getting fired from
a job.
Oh
my God, it's like the pink slip of life was just coming at him every moment. I was like, I know you're happy and have a good life, but you really don't look like it. So try to put a little jolly face on so people don't think I'm abusing you or something. Poor thing.
Having that pep talk with your dog.
Yeah.
Every day.
But yeah, calling to its boss's office and just like, come in, you haven't cracked any cases in weeks. You're the worst detective on the force.
Step into my office. Why? Because you're fired.
There you go. Yeah, you leave here with that festering wound in your psyche. Looking all sad.
Aww.
That's a very cute dog. Fester the dog.
Fester the dog.
I've never heard you talk about having pets, Ed.
What would you like to hear?
Have you ever had a pet?
I had a cat called Bruno.
Aww.
It was very sweet.
What was it called?
Was it a family cat or yours?
It was a family cat when I lived at home. We had a cat called Bruno. It's called Bruno because we got him the same week that Frank Bruno won the heavyweight championship of the world.
Okay.
So we called him Bruno because it was
a
big moment in Britain.
Different reasons for naming pets. You're going for the positive. Yeah. I'm going for the, some Kafka-esque sort of thing.
Yours is inspired by Kafka as well, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
The boxer read it in the ring. Yes.
Yeah. Only the first page, unfortunately, because the gloves meant he couldn't turn.
Yeah, gloves off.
Yeah.
Very, very tricky. That's the curse of being a boxer, isn't it?
Curse, you can't read. Mm. It's really hard to turn the page.
You can't turn pages.
Can't text.
Can't text. What else can't you do if you're a boxer?
I mean, most things.
Most
I'd say.
Things,
yeah.
Really. You can really only punch people.
Yeah. No wonder that's the profession they went into.
It works well for them.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
I say it's a violent sport, but what other choice do they have?
Yeah, there's really none. They can't. There's nothing. You
can't
even hold a pencil.
Yeah.
That's why they just bump each other
the start.
With their fists. Yes, at the start.
Buffalo mozzarella, your dish here. It does seem like it's such a simple dish.
It is. I like about 3 to 4 ingredients max.
Mm.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Because they have to just be quality
just
ingredients.
Exactly, yeah. And that's kind of. That's one of the things I notice in London a lot. They put a lot of ingredients in one dish. I don't know. But most places, really, they do, except for Italy, which sticks to the 3 to 4 rule.
Yeah. Because is the Italian flag
red, white, and green?
And is that... That's represented in a pizza. I know the flag came
first.
That's
the margarita pizza.
Just so you know.
I think they have a pizza flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the flag came first.
The flag came first.
Just checking.
I don't know.
The
I don't
dish,
know.
I think the dish was created for someone specific and it was supposed to represent the flag.
It really is just the tomato, the cheese, and the basil.
Yeah.
That's their flag.
That's the flag.
Yeah.
Because if it was the pizza, then the flag.
Hmm.
It might be, though. Italy only became, even though it was always called Italy, it was, not always, but it was only, I think, in the 40s that they became kind of all one dysfunctional situation together.
Oh. I guess if the pizza came first, the flag would be round.
True. Maybe we can just cut off its
middle.
Edges with a pizza cutter.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we were to make a flag, say you've got your own country, Rose.
Yes. It would be orange.
The flag's orange.
Fluorescent orange.
Is this based on the American cheese again?
No, just I really like fluorescent orange, not as cheese per se, but as a color.
So you just have a fluorescent orange block, one just fluorescent orange flag.
No, I think I'd have like... probably a fist in the middle of it. Fist up. My dad said I was born with a fist raised in the air, so I'd have to have something like that.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That's a very, what an image that is. Like you're flying like Superman.
No, it's more of like a power fist.
Like the Rage Against the Machine logo.
Kind of.
Oh, yes, thank you. Ed knowing how to translate something for me there.
Remember your teens.
The band that I like.
It's like the Fistagon, the Rage Against the Machine logo.
I got it. But here's the rumors of the full question I was going to ask, but I like that we've got that from you. If we were to, if there's a flag and it's based on like a food thing, like your national dish of your country.
A Taco Bell flag?
So you'd just be the Taco Bell logo.
My flag is the Taco Bell logo. Yes.
That's it. And that's fair enough.
Yeah.
The Taco Bell logo. Raise fist still?
Raise fist in the middle of the taco.
Yeah. Punching us. Hard shell taco. I'm holding it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So we move on to your main course.
Okay. My main
course.
Very
exciting.
Okay, my main course is, I'm going to be really honest, I like mushy food. I don't like chewing that much. I find that is also boring. I don't like chewy food. So I'd have to go with just a spaghetti with tomato, and a pasta with a tomato and basil, cooked al dente with some lovely fresh tomatoes and a sprinkling of Parmesan. But the kind of slivered kind, not the powder kind.
Right.
The powder kind of Parmesan is awful.
Awful.
It is awful, right?
It's awful.
It's like the dust from the bottom of a cage.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's like a hamster cage.
Yeah, shouldn't happen.
No.
I can't believe we've not had that as one of our ingredients, our secret ingredients. We, each episode, we have an ingredient that if the guest says it, we chuck him out the restaurant. It's always an ingredient we don't like. And that is a very good one for a future episode.
That'd be a good
future
one. Yeah, I think so.
If they pick that... They get chucked out of the restaurant.
Chuck them out on the.
You chuck them out of the podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's get kicked out.
We're hoping it doesn't happen. Really.
Yeah.
You're going to send me to some restaurant with foaming food.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
And that is perfect. Your episode, our secret ingredient that we would have chucked you out for is foam.
Really?
Yeah, that was what it was going to
really?
Be.
Really?
Genuinely, it was going to be foam.
It was genuinely foam.
Now you've come out against foam. So
I'm against foam. So
you own the restaurant now, technically.
You're my boss now. That's very good that you're completely on the same page.
Is it really
as,
true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was it was foam for your episode, and you have made it very clear that that's the last thing.
I'm anti-foam.
That's just your idea of hell.
I'm not into it, yeah.
Say,
it is my idea of hell. Little tiny things that are foaming, not so much.
No, I mean, what's the point?
Exactly. That's what I think.
When they go on about, when you watch one of those shows and they're like, we've added some foam, and you're like,
why?
Yeah, just put the actual ingredient on. Why foam? I don't want to pretend, I don't want to be in a bath. It's like...
No, I think they're trying to be very creative and I appreciate the look of things. I just don't want to eat the thing.
No one's walking around going, I'm really hungry. What
for
do you fancy?
Foam.
Oh, yeah.
Green foam, if you can swing it.
Yeah, yeah. there's any foam around, then...
There's only foam. What are you craving tonight? Foam.
Just a big... Sometimes you just want a big bowl of foam, don't you? Really take the edge off.
So you got fresh tomatoes in your pasta as well?
Yes.
I have a question about the pasta, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, the basics.
I like linguine.
You say you don't like chewing, though. And you've had it cooked al dente, which literally means to the teeth.
But that's a soft chew. It's not like, it's not, that's a very good, thank you for that translation.
Thank you.
Very good.
I thought I should
good.
Let you know, you've not been to Italy for a while.
Yeah, you only grew up there, Rose, you probably don't know.
Yeah.
It was for the listener, it was for the listener, not for Rose.
It's not as chewy as, say, steak.
Mm.
Sure.
Right, or something that you have to really masticate. I just wanted to use that word.
Very good.
Thank you.
In terms of like chewy foods, what's your nightmare?
My nightmare chewy food. I think it'd be like probably steak with gristle with the fat in it. Because then you're just chewing and chewing and then you have to spit it into your napkin and hide it in the plant. It's a whole
Well,
situation.
You don't have to do that.
I do. I do.
It's many little chewed up gristle napkins.
Many chewed up, I've left many little like Hansel and Gretel chewy things in my wake.
Just growing a little gristle tree out of the plant pot.
Yeah, that's nice. They wonder why their plant is doing so, so well.
Yeah.
And growing a steak off its leaf.
Once when we were kids, my brother once I think we were told, like, you got to finish your main to have dessert.
Right.
At my auntie and uncle's house. And he was eating a particularly, it was a chewy bit of gristle. And he was just there forever until, you know, people noticed and were like, You don't have to eat. Like, he thought the rules were, he took the rules very seriously.
You've got to clean your plate.
So he was just there just steadily chewing this bit of meat for, like, just probably approaching 20 minutes. It was a very long time.
Oh, wait. Have you ever eaten tripe? It's disgusting.
I
was forced to eat that, and I took one bite, and that was chewy hell.
Really?
And also, it's cow's stomach lining. I mean, F off. And I was 11. It just didn't go well.
Oh, that's too young for tripe.
Who was eating tripe at 11? What was this?
Mean, cruel people.
Yeah.
My mother.
Did your mother like it?
I guess so, but it's the only time I remember her ever making it, so maybe she didn't like it that much.
Oh, she made it, so this is a home-cooked tripe.
Yeah, a home-cooked tripe.
Was this in Italy?
No, this is when we came to America, which is even worse.
American tripe.
Ugh.
American tripe.
American tripe. That's sounds like the new Green Day album.
That's what they would make. Chewy songs.
Chewy songs.
Yeah, that doesn't sound nice at all. So tripe is your like nightmare.
That is a nightmare.
Nightmare chew food.
Chewy food.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. Because I think you just keep chewing and nothing happens. It doesn't get any softer and it doesn't go down. And it's ugly.
Yeah. Whereas with a pill.
That works neatly and you only need water. Sometimes even without water.
Straight down.
Taking care of all of your needs.
Would you want the pill to be flavored or do you... wouldn't need that. It's literally just the pill.
Just pop it down.
Just pop it down. No flavor. Not like a Willy Wonka situation where
develops. That would be nice. Like if it were like a lemon drop or something like that, that could be nice. Could be a dissolvable. I haven't thought on it that much, but now that I think about it, yes, a lemon drop would be nice.
A dissolvable. You don't even need to swallow it there.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Sublingual.
Yeah. No chewing at all. Although some liquids, it's good to chew them.
I beg your pardon?
I was told with wine, it's good to chew wine.
I don't know.
Because it releases the flavour.
Someone's having you on there, mate.
I got told by a sommelier.
Chew
the wine.
You probably mean just swill it around, right?
No. You do a chewy motion, like you're chewing it. It works.
Is that why every time we go out, you end up just spilling wine out your mouth?
Yeah.
Is this why you've had no second dates after?
Yeah. I was chewing wine with my mouth open. I was told.
I mean, feel free to write in if you are a sommelier, but as far as
is
I know,
true?
I don't think you're supposed to chew wine.
I think you're supposed to
are
chew wine.
Are you thinking of wine gums?
So unattractive. Oh, you mean, I thought you meant when you drink the wine and your gums turn purple.
Oh, yeah, no, that is unattractive.
Yeah.
Wine gums are a type of sweet, which are also... probably quite unattractive, but yeah, the red wine mouth is not good.
Bless.
It's a real...
it's a turn on.
Yeah, it is.
After chewing with his mouth open and his gums and teeth turn purple.
Well, yeah, I'd like to see a fellow chewer walking through it. No, it really undermines the person because they don't know it.
They don't know
it.
And you're trying just to look in their eyes because you don't want to look in their mouth, but you can't help it.
Yeah.
They look like a monster.
Kind of, yeah.
A scary monster.
Scary monster.
Especially if they are a bit tipsy. And they're tipsy, but they're kind of trying to carry themselves like they're completely not.
Mm.
And yet there's this dead giveaway all over their mouth.
All over their mouth. And usually their lips, too.
Yeah. So they're just trying to be
it's
like...
It's getting better and better, isn't it? For you home visualizers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is the most visual episode.
Don't chew your wine.
Don't chew your wine.
No, do chew your wine.
No, don't chew your wine.
Don't chew your wine.
Chew your wine. Look, we're divided on this issue, but like...
We're divided. It's two against one.
Yeah.
I haven't tried chewing other drinks, but maybe if I did... It'd be good. But I don't know. Releases the flavour.
Don't chop your water.
You have to chop it up first.
Dice your water up so it's in little chunks for you.
No, not saying you've got to chop it up first. Just saying, you know, when it's in your mouth, you can chew it. Don't chop it up. Oh, only a madman would try and chop up their drink. Do you make pasta at home?
I do.
Do you throw it against the wall?
I don't.
How do you test it?
With my mouth.
Throw it against your mouth.
I throw it against my mouth. Yeah.
If it sticks to the roof of your mouth,
if it sticks
ready.
To my face, yeah. It's ready.
Yeah.
I didn't say I open my mouth. I just throw it against my mouth. Yeah.
Yes. Just there, closed mouth, pass on your face, and then someone comes in with red wine lips and you go, oh, it's really quite undignified.
It's really quite undignified. May I chew your wine for you?
Yeah. For you. It's a check of it. Yeah. So you just Pop it in the mouth.
Pop it in the mouth.
No, throwing it against the wall.
No, I think that's a wives' tale.
Yeah?
Plus you get stuff on your walls.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. You then got to clean the wall up afterwards.
It's a whole situation.
It's a long climb down, isn't it?
It's a long climb down from the ceiling.
So what was in this pasta again? I'm just trying to remember now.
Just tomato and basil and parmesan. Really simple. Maybe linguine or an angel hair.
Why is that one of your favorites?
I just like it because it's so simple, and if they're really good ingredients, I'm what they call a super taster. I have extraordinary taste buds, but things that are very mild tasting to other people taste like a lot to me.
Is this an actual thing? I've never heard of a super taster.
This is
an actual thing.
Diagnosed thing. You're a super taster.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so things like tapioca, which tastes like nothing to most people, I think tastes like a lot to me.
Wow. So this kind of explains as well why you don't like
too many ingredients,
gourmet food, too many ingredients, stuff like that.
It's literally. Too much for me almost, yeah.
When did you find out you were a super taster?
About 5 years ago. I did a series of tests at Harvard, actually, because I lost my smell in a freak accident, my sense of smell. But they were studying me because I could still taste.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, it's normally interrelated. And I got hit in the head with a car door in a freak valet accident in Los Angeles. You know how that happens.
Yes.
And it knocked it. If you get hit, I guess, because I know a snowboarder, the same thing, he hit his head in this one same spot. And it just, he could still taste as well.
Right.
But he also hit his head again like a year later and it came back. So I'm hoping that if I just get in the freak car accident again.
Just keep looking for clumsy valets.
Keep looking for clumsy valets.
Yeah. Wow. So car door, hit your head, you lost your sense of smell. But then is that when you became a super taster or you were a super taster before?
I think I might have been before, but you don't notice it as much with a sense of smell.
It's a cool origin story if you became a super taster because
I think
of the car
I did
door.
Because before I never noticed, but afterwards everything became kind of like a taste explosion and too much.
Well, there's a comic book in that as well, isn't
there? That's crazy as well because I thought your sense of smell
it is
would enhance, would make things taste
They're
more.
They're connected, right? Yeah.
Right.
But instead losing it made you the super taster.
For me, yes.
Wow.
But that's also why they were studying me at Harvard Medical School but then my doctor died of a brain tumor and that study ended. Sorry, rest in peace.
Wow.
That's now you know the saga.
What a twist. You did not build us up to that in any way.
No, I'm sorry. I just brought Debbie Downer right there.
Yeah. Okay, right in there.
Right in there.
But so you started going to Harvard. How often would you have to go there for tests?
I would go like once every couple months. I was in New York, so just go down to Boston, which is like a couple states away.
And what would they do? What were the tests?
They would have like strips on my tongue, like seeing like the acid levels and trying to get me to smell things, I think, but I couldn't. I can smell oranges.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Which is good since that's my favorite color.
Yes.
my orange flag.
The flag will smell of orange.
But it is
as well.
Really interesting. Not being able to smell is I've had to get, you know, like gas monitors for my house and things like that. Because,
of course.
Because I accidentally left the gas on one night and didn't know because I couldn't smell it.
Yeah.
There are some inherent dangers that come with not smelling.
Absolutely. But then, yeah, you're so.
And I can only use all the same bath products I've always used because I don't know what else, you know, I don't want to smell like. I don't know, Axe cologne or something on accident.
Yeah,
sure.
Is that your sponsor?
Yeah, they are also our sponsor. That and pop chips.
Yeah.
They're interchangeable. You can use them both for the same thing.
You just spray your pop chips with some Axe cologne.
Yeah.
They go down pretty smooth. Right, so you won't appreciate that this genie, for your episode, I smell like chocolate.
I'm sorry.
I thought I'd smell like chocolate for this episode. Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Hot chocolate's genie. Nice, so I like the way it tastes.
Yeah, I always smell different. That's what people don't know about the genie in this thing. I always smell different for each episode.
Chocolate today, isn't
for the,
it?
For the guest, yeah, I always put a different, like,
different
fragrance.
Yeah.
Smell hot chocolate today with marshmallows.
I've only got four senses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one if, of them, one of them is great.
Four and a half.
Yeah. You get one, your taste 4. Is one 5. And a half, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. Let's say I get another genie in who deals in other stuff, not just food. And this genie can bring back your sense of smell, but...
I have to trade something else?
Yeah, just trade a different sense.
No.
Or you get the super...
I think it's probably the best scent to lose if you have to lose one, which is, I'm not saying, you know, I'm being very jokey about it, but it was quite devastating.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Apologies for turning it into a fun little hypothetical question.
No, it's okay. But I don't think there's another sense that I would trade for that. No, I think it makes New York in the summer on the subways totally palatable and okay.
Oh, yeah.
I sat down next to a lady and I was like, oh, a free seat. And I looked at her and I believe she was covered in feces. And I thought, oh, well. I'll just sit here.
This is great.
This is fine.
Really lucked
Everyone
out.
Everyone else is like hiding in the other end of the cab, but I'm okay.
They're hugging that lady.
I gave her a kiss goodbye.
Yeah. Thank you. Whispered in her ear.
Thank you.
But she had lost her sense of hearing. So that was, she couldn't hear that.
She couldn't hear that. She was just like, who's this strange person trying to kiss my feces?
Yeah. Let's move on to your side dish now.
I would say spinach sautéed with a little bit of garlic and olive oil. Very simple. I have a very simple palate.
Yeah, but very tasty. So it's not simple in a kind of like, it's a, these are still like pretty delicious, classy dishes. These aren't for kids.
Yeah.
I like spinach even when I was little.
Really? Because of Popeye?
Well,
I never saw pop. I grew up in a commune, so we didn't really have much exposure to the outside world for like the first 10, 11 years of my life. But I liked spinach then, and I like it now. I didn't know spinach was a thing that kids weren't supposed to like. No one ever told me, see?
Right.
I think that's true about spinach. I think you hear you're not supposed to like it.
Yeah.
People are like, yuck, spinach, you won't like that. I got told that a lot as a kid. Mm. You won't like that. And I did like quite a lot of things. So I used to try and prove people wrong by enjoying it. Spinach, especially, I once was in the Caribbean and I got brought this thing called callaloo, which is like spinach soup.
Uh-huh.
And I was little and I said,
good.
Oh, spinach, oh, yuck, I'm not supposed to like spinach. And my mum said to me, you know, Papa eats spinach and it makes him really strong. And I ate the whole bowl.
Did you get strong?
No, unfortunately not. I did not. I knew James would enjoy that story.
Did your muscles snap out of your t-shirt as a really, 9-year-old?
Really weird, muscly looking kid.
I really like it that you fell for the old Popeye line.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, yeah.
I'm trying to be strong like Popeye.
Yeah.
And is this a dish that, like, do you have this quite regularly? Or is it something
at restaurants. I've never really made it for myself. I'm always shocked by the amount of spinach it takes just to make a little spinach blob.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's like an entire bag to make a small, like, half a fistful.
Yeah.
It all just shrivels down.
Yeah, you think you've bought your dinner, but no, you've bought half of a side dish.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't feel economical, does it?
It does not.
It's like, yeah, that's the whole bag. I think, you know, that'll be 3 days. It fools me every time as well.
Yeah, it's a deep trick.
That would be enough. Because it takes up so much room in the fridge as well. It's like putting a whole pillow in your fridge.
Yeah.
That's what I sleep on, my spinach pillow.
Yeah, in this fantasy farm that we've created.
This fantasy farm.
Everything's made of food.
The farmer sleeps on a spinach pillow.
Yeah. And it's weird. We put, like, getting a wok full of spinach and just watching it all. Because to begin with as well, I tend to overload it, the wok. So there's too much spinach in there.
And then it goes down to nothing.
Yeah, but originally I think I've really
done it.
This is it.
Are you a good cook? Do you cook?
No.
No.
I try and cook, but I'm not good. But
A for effort.
Because I've made it, it tastes good to me.
Aww.
I wouldn't cook for other people, but I'm eating it going like,
well done me.
This is great, yeah. I feel good about myself. But also, you said about pasta earlier. That's the opposite, I'd say, to the spinach. Pasta, I always put some, I never think I've done it, I put a nothing. So I put the pasta in the water and I look in, I thought that I've not put enough in there.
And then it grows.
And then I put some more in because I think I've not put enough in. And then when I get it out, I'm like, this is enough to feed the entire school.
Yeah. You really need, like, if you're making an O with your hand, like, that's about the amount of pasta for one person.
That's a good tip.
Really?
Yeah.
So you make an O and you fill your hand.
Fill your O.
Fill your O.
That didn't sound right either.
That's a Christina Aguilera song, right?
Yeah, I believe so, on The Voice especially.
Yes. Yeah, just fill your eye. Because there's those proper pasta measurers, right, that you can buy.
Yes.
But they're just basically different size O's.
Those are different size O's.
Yeah, you're being fooled out of your money there.
Yeah, I think
you've got your own O right here.
I don't think any self-respecting Italian would go with the pasta, whatever it's called.
No. So you've just got garlic, a bit of garlic in there, a bit of olive oil.
Mm-hmm. I always burn garlic. I try and make spinach and garlic quite a lot at home, and I've never not burned the garlic.
Really?
Yeah.
Does your attention span lapse between the white and the light browning?
Oh, absolutely. It's like I black out momentarily and then wake up.
Your stuff's burnt.
Yeah.
Burnt garlic isn't really very good.
No, it's horrible. It's bitter.
No, not a fan.
Not a fan of burnt garlic, no.
In this particular dish, you're slicing it, you're chopping it into little cubes.
I'm leaving these ones kind of whole. I don't necessarily chew them. I just use them for the flavor.
Oh, interesting. That sounds like a better idea because then you can't burn it because you're chucking it away. Mm-hmm. So you just put it in. You put it in the pan.
You still can burn it. You have to not burn it.
You don't have to eat it.
But you don't have to eat it.
That's clever.
I'd imagine burnt garlic as a super taster would be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Oh, I forgot you were a super taster for a second. So this particular dish, is this a good for other super tasters out there? Would you recommend it?
I would recommend it.
Have you met other super tasters?
No. I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah. We've got to get...
Do you like coriander or cilantro? I hate it.
I don't love it.
I don't mind it. A lot of people say it tastes of soap.
For me, I've had soap in my mouth. It did not cure my bad potty mouth, but I've had soap in my mouth and I can testify that it tastes exactly like Irish Spring soap.
Really?
Specifically Irish Spring. Irish
specifically, Spring, which is the worst soap in America. It's green and nasty to taste. That's all I have to say.
And was that the brand? Was it to stop you from swearing?
Mm-hmm.
You got to wash out with soap. So that's proper, like, I've heard that phrase.
I've had that.
You had that?
My friend's mum did it to me.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
friend's mum?
Really, really staunch Catholic woman. And we were literally running around the house swearing because we were like, it's great, right?
Yeah.
Me and my friend, and she came and washed our mouths out with soap.
Both of you.
Did you tell your mother?
Yes.
Was she mad?
Yeah, I think she was pretty mad. She didn't show me that necessarily, but I think she was pretty mad at the time. We don't see those people anymore.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
But that's full on, right?
That's crossing a major line, I'd say. That's not your kid.
A light form of child abuse, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
It's like neighbor abuse.
Yeah, I'm gonna join that. That's.
I don't know if it was Irish Spring, so I can't testify to whether it was.
It was Yardley.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's British why Spring. You don't like green foam, because it reminds you of Irish Spring.
Probably, possibly, because it did foam.
Yeah.
It foams that soap in your mouth.
Yeah. I never had that. I'm the only one out of the three of us.
Yeah.
Benito, have you ever eaten soap? Me and Benito, me and the great Benito, we have never had soap in our mouths, and you two have. This is where the...
Well, there you go. There's the divide.
Maybe you're a super taster too. Maybe it was the soap.
Yeah, Ed, you don't know. You have two superpowers.
What's your other one?
Diabetes.
I've told you, James. Type 1 diabetes is not a superpower. James thinks it's type 1 diabetes.
He fell in the Thames, he got diabetes.
The two events were not connected.
The two events were not connected. The soap didn't cause.
The soap didn't cause the type 1 diabetes, neither did falling in the Thames.
Did you fall in the Thames?
Yeah, that's
how we got diabetes.
I used to row on the Thames and we capsized and went in the Thames. And James swears blind that that's how I got type 1 diabetes.
Is the Thames dirty?
Awful.
Awful.
Yeah. Do not
full of sugar.
Go for a little swim in the Thames.
Do not go for a swim in the Thames. Note to self.
And especially as a super taster.
I'm not a good swimmer, so that would also
There's no buffalo mozzarella climbing out the Thames, I'll tell you that.
No.
Does not look nice.
It's brown mozzarella at that point.
Yeah, very sad brown looking mozzarella. But maybe when you got your mouth washed out with soap and water, then you got super taster.
Yeah, I washed out all my bad taste buds and now I've only got the good ones left.
Yeah.
That could have been how
maybe that's it.
Super tasters. Oh, I want you to meet more super tasters, Rose. I think this is quite...
I'll get back to you.
It's quite exciting that we haven't had a super taster on the podcast before.
Maybe you go to the gourmet restaurants with other super tasters and then you all go, oh no, there's too many ingredients in this. to the Michelin star chef.
Yeah, I don't think we would like it.
No.
But I do think it would be cool to do a show where Michelin starred chefs were trying to force me to like their food.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially as a super taster.
Because I'm so also very stubborn and I don't know how well it would go for them.
Right. Would you say no? Would you be quite harsh as well with your criticism of their food?
Yes, even though it comes from a place of not being a foodie.
Yeah.
I would be like, as a non-foodie, here's what I have to say to you.
Yeah.
Because most foodie people are like, oh, Michelin star.
Yeah, sure. But you could be like, look, I'm a super taster. Like, you might be a Michelin star chef.
But I have super taste.
My tongue is better than yours.
Your tongue will never be mine.
Yeah, my tongue is better than yours.
My tongue is better than yours.
We move on to your drink now.
Oh, my drink.
Yeah, this is your dream drink for the meal.
See, none of my food, well, it kind of goes together. I like lemonade an awful lot, but that would be strange with these dishes, wouldn't it? So I'm going to go a nice glass of, I like Opus 1, that red wine. It's a mix. It's like a super Tuscan. So that would be a really
super
nice
Tuscan one. For a super taster.
Hey.
This is it. Absolutely perfect. And we say it's a mix. What is it?
I don't really know what the mix is. I just know it's a mix. I've never chewed my wine, you see.
Would you like me to bring you a knife and fork for this
wine,
by the way?
Please do.
Get you a knife and fork if you like. You want to cut up nicely.
There's a brand called, a label called Gaia, and it's G-A-J-A. Have you ever had that one?
No.
It's incredible.
Right.
Someone once bought me a case of it, which is very nice because I never would have bought it for myself because it's around $600 per bottle.
Wow.
Yeah. That person was rich.
Keep that person in your life.
So I did not buy it for myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll top out at like $30, $40 a bottle.
Yeah.
I think you can get really nice wines for that price, right?
It should be fine.
Surely once you get above $100, it's
But there are those people that are the, what's the word for them? Onophiles? For people that love wine?
Chewers.
Chewers.
Yeah. Chewophiles.
Yeah.
Chewers unite.
Yeah.
I think they have no price limit on their thing. Mm.
Sure.
But I think they also must be rich because I don't know. That seems like an awful lot of money for a bottle of wine. That is just, I'm always like, I could buy a shirt for that or two shirts at least.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you think of it, is in shirts.
I think of it in clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of it in clothing. I was like, I could buy a pair of shoes probably for that or more.
Because you were at a fashion event last night?
Yesterday day, I think.
Right. And what was it?
It was for Vivienne Westwood. It was her first show in London in a long time. She's been showing her collection in Paris for a while now. So it was her return, Dame Vivienne Westwood, I should say. And it was kind of a global call to action on climate change. And I went out and talked about needing more heroes, things like that.
Right.
While wearing quite the getup. I was wearing a pillowcase that had a neck slit and arm slits, and it had a hand-drawn caricature of her on it. She drew it, and then some silver thigh-high boots and a big crown that said angel on it, but it was a paper crown. And then it had silver tinsel hanging from the crown at one point. So it was quite a fashion look, let me tell you.
Wow. Whenever I see
it's fashion, you wouldn't understand.
Ed is wearing that right
now.
Yeah,
I can't believe it. I thought I was being unique, and here we are.
Yeah. That is a great outfit.
Whenever I see really high fashion things like that, I just think, oh, I could get a bottle of wine for that.
Yeah. You buy a nice bottle of
wine. Yeah.
Buy a nice bottle of wine for that coat. Yeah.
Did you do a speech about climate change? Did you say, tell them about how there's bread running in the fields? And
I talked about, I actually talked about the financial system.
Right.
And how obviously the... something called rot dollar, that's what she calls the evil, rotten financial system.
Uh-huh.
Rot dollar is the mechanism that favors the already rich by taxing the already poor. That is one of my direct lines.
Right.
So there's that. And it's funny to say all that to a fashion crowd who's like, got a lot of fancy clothes on.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, they're like, this might be directed at... Is this directed at us?
Yeah.
Rose?
Definitely. I'm like, excuse me. Yes, it is. Why, yes, it is.
Have you always been into wine since like adulthood or something?
Well, actually, no. They in Italy they start you at age 5. It's around age 5, and they give you a glass of water and they put a couple drops of red wine. But they have an incredibly low incidence of alcoholism in Italy.
Right,
like very, very low. And I think it's because they normalize it, and it's not like something that's kept from you, mm-hmm. like that you're meant to go binge on.
Right. Yeah.
It's not really the look there, the binging, not so much. England and America and Australia, they love a good binge, and probably some other places too.
Sure, because obviously we're told to stay away from that. It's bad. Oh, be careful.
Yeah. Right. So then you get a chance, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's on.
I was the same with like. I think it's the same with anything. It's the same with like junk food and things like that. If you grow up mm-hmm. being told that it's really bad and you can't have it, as soon as you leave home, you're like, I can do.
Well, that's kind of what happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that, my father was. Definitely. He was like farm to table before that was ever popular. And we were only allowed to have cereal that came in paper bags. Right. Nothing was plastic. So that was ahead of the curve. So no BPAs or whatever the hell that's called. And but then when I left the house, I was like, hello, Taco Bell. What is your name?
Hello, Taco Bell. What is your name? It's such a great order to say it in. Wow, so cereal in paper bags. So I'm not familiar with this.
No, you have to go to the hippie store for that.
No.
Right.
Deep hippie.
And what kind of cereal is it?
Puffed rice.
Oh.
It tastes like cardboard.
There's puffed rice.
Puffed rice with soy milk.
Whoa.
Yeah. We were never allowed to own a microwave. We didn't, nothing.
I mean, this
like
is in the commune still as well.
No, this is even in America.
Right. So the commune was in?
Italy.
Yeah.
If I was being offered puffed rice with soy milk for breakfast, I'd be a pill person.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened to
me. Give
me
that pill.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a food journey you've had of like, to
go from
with
the best food ever in Tuscany to American fried, fluorescent colored weirdness to then trying to be an adult out in the world but never having learned how to cook. It's a little unmanageable.
And then becoming a super taster.
And then becoming a super taster.
I mean, the narrative of the whole thing is like, that's
why I like rice pudding so much.
Oh, really?
Not with cinnamon. That's too much for me.
I mean, we're coming
and
to your dessert.
Not with raisins.
We're coming to your dessert now.
Oh, I'm going to throw you for a curve with my dessert.
Oh, is the dessert not going to be rice pudding?
No.
Do you want to throw rice pudding in there as an honorable mention?
Rice pudding definitely, if it's done right, gets an honorable mention. Not with raisins, though. I don't like the raisins in it, no.
Raisins, scram.
And no cinnamon?
No cinnamon. Just straight rice pudding.
Straight up rice pudding.
Right. Yeah, it's how I like my drink.
Oh yeah,
plain and I can chew rice it.
Pudding. Yeah, you gotta chew a rice pudding.
You gotta chew a rice pudding.
Not much.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah. Rice pudding, not wine. I'm looking forward to this curveball now.
This is where I go into the deep south in America. I like red velvet cake.
Oh yeah,
and that's I make it actually, and I make quite a good one. The secret is putting in 2 giant bottles of red food coloring, so it looks just like blood. Yeah, and then you have a white cream cheese frosting, which is delightful, and it's just like red and white, but really red, and a kind of a German chocolate base, which is kind of a milk chocolate. So
right.
It's not like a lot of people use a dark chocolate base, and that just makes your cake look muddy instead of bloody.
Yeah. Right, yeah. You want bloody, not muddy.
Bloody, not muddy.
Always remember that, kids.
that's the rule. So you got a germ. I've always been, I think I've had good red velvet stuff and not so good.
I've had not so good too.
Yeah. So,
but when you get a good one, you're like, that is delightful. And it was Elvis's favorite.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm not sure that's a good thing for a food.
I think it's the best thing for a food.
What, is it being Elvis's favorite?
Yep.
He also liked fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Yeah.
Which I've tried. Not fried, but I've toasted them. That's quite good.
I bet that'd be absolutely delicious. A fried peanut butter. All the things he liked. Look, if those things ended up, cutting his life short, they must have been good.
I think it was more the pills, but probably that stuff didn't help either.
He was a pill person.
Yeah,
He was a real pill person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, individually they sound nice. I guess it's just the quantity that Elvis maybe struggled with.
I went to Graceland, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And at first I thought, ha, 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 isn't this funny? And then by the end you're crying because I didn't realize he's buried in the backyard.
Oh, right.
And that was a shock. I was like, oh. And then, but as you start going through the house, it gets kind of more and more depressing in a weird way. There's this room because he was so isolated from humans, other than, if he had to go to movies, he would rent out the whole movie theater, but he would go in the middle of the night. He couldn't, obviously, it was Elvis. So, that and he was hugely famous, especially in America. And but by the end, there's this one room, his TV room, and he had a whole wall of TVs, but they have gunshot holes in them because he would get mad at the TV and shoot them.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And then you go out in the back to his grave. And that's Graceland, everybody.
Yeah, that's a heavy end to a day out.
It is. It's like, oh.
Shot the TV. What shows would make you so angry that you would shoot the TV?
Well, apparently you prefer The Voice to America's Got Talent. Yeah. So maybe America or Britain's Got Talent, you would shoot your TV?
I would shoot the TV.
Every time
for that.
They hit an X, you pull the trigger, right?
Pull the trigger. Yeah.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, red velvet. Now, red velvet cake. I've had nice red velvet cake, but it doesn't, the flavor
is. It doesn't go with the rest of it.
It's, well, not at all. And it doesn't have to go with the rest of the meal. This is your dream meal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a particular flavor, is it? The red does not, it's not like a berry flavor.
No, I think it's psychological.
Right, okay.
One time I made a green velvet cake. It was the ugly. I ran out of red food coloring and it was someone's birthday. It was the ugliest cake you have ever seen. It was bright green with white frosting. It was disgusting looking, but it was really good. It was probably my best cake.
But
the crowd was a little shocked.
It just doesn't fit. Like,
psychologically,
yeah.
It's a tough one to eat.
Yeah. If it was St. Patrick's Day.
For St. Patrick's Day, it was not St. Patrick's Day.
No, this was a friend's birthday who was expected. Did you still call it a red velvet cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an asterisk.
Yeah, it's a red velvet cake, everyone. Also, if you didn't even reference it was green, and you said, I've made everyone a really nice red velvet cake, and then produced that.
I didn't reference it, actually, and I did produce it. And they
did they say anything? Or did they go,
There was a hush over the crowd. A little hush, and then a bunch of talking.
Yeah. And then it starts to worry about, she's colorblind
she's
as well.
She's colorblind
now.
Too now.
It's all,
oh my God.
Maybe.
She's a super seer.
Yeah, yeah. It's all,
I actually think it does go very well with the rest of your meal because there's something red in your entire meal.
Oh, that's true.
Meal.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That runs through the whole.
Yeah.
That's a good through line.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you're a very red meal.
Do you want to change the color of your flag?
No.
No.
All right, stick with
still
orange.
Bright orange.
Still bright orange. Red is. I like red, but not as, I wouldn't say that's my flag color.
No, it's more flavor-wise.
My book cover is even fluorescent orange.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Brave by Rose McGowan.
It is. Fluorescent orange.
I'll advertise it as much as I need to.
Thank you, Pop Chips.
Oh, that's a quite cool nickname. Right, I'm going to read your order back to you now, Rose.
Okay.
You would like still water. You would like some a butter naan as your bread. You would like, for your starter, mozzarella, tomatoes, and olive oil. Your main, you would like pasta with tomatoes, basil, and parmesan. Side, you don't want that crumbled, you want that sliced up.
Yes, slivered.
Slivered. Side dish, you would like sautéed spinach with garlic and olive oil. Drink, an Opus 1 Super Tuscan red wine. And for dessert, red velvet cake made by your own hands.
Correct.
That is
That's
very
a great
nice
menu.
Red meal.
That's a very red meal.
Yeah. Didn't realize how red it would be. Did you?
I did not know.
When Ed revealed the redness, you were like, that is red, actually. Maybe that's a bit too red.
Maybe that's. I'm going to have to rethink it. But I think, it's good to go with one color.
You got some beetroots? Chose some beetroots in there?
No, those are purple.
They are purple, but
they look red on the plate.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
I've got some bad news. A bull is walking past the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come crashing in here now he's seen your meal.
We need our bread farm to distract him.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get rid of him. Well, thank you so much for coming, Rose. You've been a wonderful, wonderful guest in the restaurant.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. What a brilliant menu from Rose McGowan.
Simple and delicious.
Yeah, I love the sort of the 3 to 4 ingredients rule.
Yeah, that's a very good rule. No one's really implemented that before on this podcast.
And you know what? I wasn't spotting the revelation about there being a super taster.
Oh, I did not see that coming. It was a massive twist and fascinating. I want to meet more super tasters.
So fascinating. And the fact it only came up about halfway through as well.
Yep.
Whereas she was like, I'm going to keep that piece of information and I'm going to drop it in as a twist. Because if I was a super taster and I went on a food podcast, first, before the microphones were on, I'd storm in and go, by the way, I'm a super taster.
Yeah, just so you know, I'm a super taster.
You're in the presence of a super taster.
Yep. I'm going to start saying that anyway. even though it's not true.
People can't prove you wrong, can they?
No, they can't tell me what I can taste or what I can't taste. I'm going to walk into a restaurant, say I'm a super taster, and get them on their best game.
James, here's a point I'd like to raise.
Yeah.
Rose McGowan is such an interesting woman and has done so much. and I don't think does a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. Very rare to get Rosie McGowan on a podcast, actually.
Do you think people are going to be angry that we literally talked to her about food for an hour?
Oh, we didn't ask her about more interesting stuff?
No.
That has occurred to me. So I guess it would be quite... You could get quite a lot. You could talk to her about very many fascinating things with Rose McGowan.
Yes.
And we asked her, imagine a farm where the animals are made of bread. And what does the brioche look like? And what's the brioche doing up on that hill? I mean, you are right. There is, at the time I asked her, you know, what colour's the flag of your country?
Yeah.
If you're going to make it, like, I wasn't really dealt, oh, I didn't go much in depth about things. But, you know, those are our interests.
But look, that's why we do a food podcast, because we like food, guys. So, yeah. You know, we're not here to do a sort of interesting WTF-style podcast. We want to ask people, what's that brioche doing on the hill?
Yeah, what's the brioche doing on the hill? And, you know, how do you think that the bread farm and the cheese farm would get on with each other if they were neighbours?
But a brilliant menu and a brilliant guest. And also, she didn't. Not only did she not say the secret ingredient, I was very surprised that she actively came out against the secret ingredient.
Very happy with that. That means that's a lifetime. You can come to this restaurant whenever you like.
Yeah.
We'll always cook you whatever you want, because you've, without even being prompted, said that you hate pho.
Well, she's a stockholder in the restaurant now.
Yeah, she's a stockholder in the restaurant. She's my boss.
Silent partner.
A silent partner, Ed. And I'm completely happy with that. That was it was very heartening to have a guest call out the secret ingredient before we did.
If you want to know what Rose thinks about some genuinely interesting stuff that isn't bread farm based, you can buy her book Brave, which I would highly suggest doing.
Yep, that is out now. Also, you can catch up with us. We're doing stuff. There's
come catch up
online.
I'm on tour. If you go on to Ed Gamble Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, onto my website, edgamble.co.uk, you can find out about where I am, James.
Yes, Ed. And I am jamesacaster.com, and there's stuff on there. Links on there to gigs, to other stuff I've done, books and
he's a productive stuff. Man. There's a lot flying around. And James, we're having a little break, aren't we, from the podcast?
Absolutely. Fair enough. You can't come here every single week. We've got to have a holiday like anyone else.
Look, it's with us, it's a dream meal, but not any dream will do. So we've got to take a little break and find us some more lovely guests. And also, you're going abroad for some shows, I understand.
Yeah, I'm going abroad for a bit. Melbourne, New Zealand.
So
America.
The problem with James as a genie is he's not one of those genies who can go from country to country, so he doesn't need to get a plane. So we can't afford to fly the genie back for any more podcasts.
Yeah.
So when the genie is back in town, we will be recording more and we'll be back for series two. But for now, let's leave the restaurant, turn off the lights and lock that door.
Sleep tight, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe you know a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.